to Rhema Christian Fellowship Ministry, where living in excellence, we walk in expectation. Join us now while Pastor Carter Dean Harris brings us a word from our Lord.
Hallelujah. Good morning, God. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Son. Good morning, blessed Holy Spirit. Good morning. It's Sunday morning, God. The day that we have had set aside, oh God, as a Sabbath, as our time, oh God, to come together, oh Lord, to rally together, oh Father, and to worship you together, God. It's Sunday morning, God. This morning, God, we come before you, oh God, in your presence, asking you, oh Lord, to allow us in the presence of your throne. We come this morning, O God, asking you, O Lord, for your everlasting mercy and your undying grace. We come this morning, O God, believing that you are God and beside you there is no other. We come this morning, God, giving you glory, honor, and praise. We come this morning, God, this Sunday morning, God, just thanking you, Father, thanking you, Son, thanking you, Holy Spirit, for keeping us, for covering us, for carrying us, God, in our homes, oh God, on our jobs, out in the community, oh Lord, we ask you, Father, to continue to allow your angels to encamp themselves with us, O God. As we sleep in our beds, O God, as we ride in our cars, God. Allow your angels, O God, to be with us, O God. Be before us, O God. Strengthen us, O God. Lead us and guide us, Father. And this morning we say good morning to you, God. Thanking you for yet another day of life, health, and strength. We ask you to pour out, O God, into our spirit and pour out through the word into the people, O God. We give you glory now. We give you honor. And we give you praise. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Son. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, people of God. Good morning, good morning. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. I say, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Good morning. Good morning, people of God. Good morning, Sister Shelton. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you, Lord. Good morning, Jolene, this morning. Thank you, God. We thank God for all of you who are with us this morning. And we just came to tell you this morning that grace came. Grace came. And it's grace that brought us through. It's grace that will lead us. Grace that will cover us and keep us. That thing called grace came this morning. Let's get into the word this morning. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's get into the word of God this morning. Good morning, Sister Bell. God bless you. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. Grace came this morning. Let's look at a few portions of scripture here this morning. Thank you, God. And we're going to begin, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. In the book of Acts, the 10th chapter. And there's a good portion of scripture here. I want you to write these scriptures down this morning so that you can go back and reflect on them. So if you'd write down this morning, Acts, the 10th chapter, the 34th through the 43rd verses. And this morning I'm going to be reading this portion from the NIV version of the Bible. Acts 10, 34 through 43. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism of John, of the baptism that John preached. He preached how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around Jesus Christ, that is, doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. That 39th verse says, we are witnesses of everything that he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses from God, whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He, Jesus, commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as the judge of the living and of the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. We're talking about Jesus this morning. Amen. Oh, bless the Lord. Amen. Thank you, God. The word of God, amen, for the people of God this morning. And we have some other scriptures we're going to look at. But right now, the word of God says grace came. Grace came. And if we look at what's going on in this book of Acts, this 10th chapter of the book of Acts, and we're talking about grace came. We're talking about a time, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Talking about a time when Peter, thank you, Lord God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, God. So we're talking about Peter. Peter was summoned, you see. He didn't just happen to this place. He was summoned to this place, and he began to speak and to preach the word of God to the people. Thank you, Lord. And Peter, the one thing he said, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. Remember that word, favoritism. God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation. No matter whether you're black, no matter whether you're white, whether you're Asian, it says from the Jews and the Gentiles, it says he doesn't show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. So that's the important thing this morning. That's what we need to know, that we need to fear God and do what is right. Grace came. Romans, the second chapter, let me go ahead and share these scriptures with you, and we are going to come back to that. The 11th through the 16th verses. Guess what it starts off saying? For God does not show favoritism. Oh my God, many of us know that scripture as God does not have respect of any person. He doesn't favor any person over the other. I'm no bigger than you, and you're no bigger than I. The queen is no more important than me to God than I am to him as the queen is. It says, for God does not show favoritism. All who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law. And all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight. Listen now. It says, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. My God. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law, those who do not have the law, do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they don't have the law. But they have a conscience, you see. They have a conscience. That 15th verse says they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts. Oh my God. Their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them, and at other times even defending them. Now we need to talk about this word this morning. We need to look at God doesn't show favoritism. Peter said it. He realized that God doesn't show favoritism. What Peter had to recognize at that point was he may have been favoring a certain people, but God wasn't favoring a certain people. Let me just give you a little background on this. You see, before Peter got to this point, Peter had had a vision. And this vision came to him three different times. You see, God allowed Peter to go into this trance, and he had this vision of this cloth, they say, that looked like a white sheet being laid out from heaven. And upon that sheet, there were various kinds of animals. And the voice in that vision told him, Peter, eat. And it told him he could eat of any of those animals. Peter declared, some of these animals are not clean, and I'm not going to eat of them. But God allowed that vision to come to him three times. And what Peter ended up understanding was, because what it said, the voice said to him, whatever God has created is clean. God does not show favoritism. Whatever God has created is good. I'm going to take it there. Grace came. Whatever God has created, if God has created you, then you're good. If God has made you, then you're good. If God has made you, then you need to be upright. You need to be righteous. If God has made you, man can't take you out. Man can't take you down. Man can't dishonor you. They may try to embarrass you. They may try to put you under their feet. But if God has created you, you see, whatever God has made is good. Now, see, Peter had that vision about the animals. And God did that voice declare to him that whatever God has made is clean, is good. And then as he had to leave from where he was and go to the, oh my God, he had to go to a different place. And then when he got to that place, thank you, Holy Spirit. Come on, Jesus. My God, slow down. Thank you, God. As Peter, thank you, God, left from where he was and was summoned to a place called Caesarea. As he went to meet, thank you, God, a man by the name of Cornelius. You see, Cornelius had his own vision while Peter was having his vision. And Cornelius was summoned. He was told to go to send for Peter to come and preach to the people. And when Peter arrived, what Peter understood then was that vision had to do with his word that was coming forth at that time. That vision that God does not make anything unclean had to do with the fact that the Gentiles needed to be, oh my God, saved as well as the Jews. That the Gentiles could be saved as well as the Jews. That God created man in his own image. You see, there was a time when God separated men from each other. God created the different races, you see, because man was too tight. Man was trying to build a tower. Oh, my God, this is so much history this morning. And they were trying to get to God, trying to get to heaven. Well, God, in his most infinite wisdom, he had to change some things so everybody would not be exactly alike. Because he had to cause some things to happen, even in their languages. You go read it for yourself. He had to change the races, the languages. He had to change the people in order for them to be changed. He had to change some things in us in order for us to be saved and understand that grace came. He had to prepare us to receive that grace that came. Let me tell you something. God did not play with the people of God in any shape, form, or fashion in the days of Noah, in the days of Moses, in the days of God didn't play in the days of Pharaoh, in the days of Peter and Paul. Oh my God. But grace came. God didn't play with the people of God, and God is not going to play with us now. But he sent grace. Grace by the way of Jesus Christ. Come on, Lord. Thank you, God. He sent grace because God had us at a place where he needed us to do right. He needed us to follow after him. And listen, the disobedience didn't just start with you and me. The disobedience started a long time ago. It started with his first man and woman that he created. It started and it lingered. Murder didn't just start with our generations. It's been going on. Prejudice didn't just start with us. David's own family was prejudiced against him. Joseph's own family, Joseph, his brothers ridiculed him. They tried to get rid of him. It didn't just start. And it's going to continue until Christ comes. But grace came this morning. Grace came. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. Let me just tell you what those scriptures are one more time. Thank you, God, because I want to make sure you write them down and you go back. Thank you, Lord. We're looking at the 10th chapter of Acts this morning. The 34th through the 43rd verses. We're looking at Romans, the second chapter, 11 through the 16th verses. And we're touching some other places this morning. Thank you, God. But that word says, for God does not show favoritism. Now, when we talk about the book of Romans in that second chapter, Paul is speaking here. Paul is talking to us. And what is he really talking about? Paul is really reminding us that all people have sinned, y'all. All people have fallen short of God's glory. All people are affected. We are all affected by the old era under the law, but we are not under the law. But if we respect the law, we reverence the law, oh my God, we give into the law from within our heart, you see. Christ came, to fulfill the law. And it's telling us this morning that all of us are affected by that thing and that need of salvation. We need to be justified through faith. Paul is trying to appeal to us this morning that in doing the law, in following the law, we know we are right with God. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Let me look at that. Oh, my God. Romans 2, 11 and 16 again. It says that 12th verse says, all who sin apart from the law. All those who don't have anything to do with the law, not under the law, but they still sinning. It doesn't matter whether the law is over your life or not. And you sin. It says all who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law. You still gonna die? Oh my God. But it says all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. So now when you come under the law, when you accept, oh my God, it says you're gonna be judged by that very law. My God. It says, for it is not those who hear the law who are righteous. Many of us have heard the law. We have heard the word of God. We have been commissioned. We have been called. We have been destined. We have been pulled in. We have declared and decreed that we are saved, we are sanctified, we are Holy Ghost filled. But it says that though it is not those who hear the law, oh my, who are righteous in God's sight. It doesn't say in man's sight. But it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. When you follow after God, and you do his will. You can't just sign up to be in the church. You can't just sign up to be a part of the kingdom. You've got to live by the laws of God. You have to. And while I'm saying that, do you know we have to live by the laws of the land? That's the word of God. We have to, yes, live by the laws of the land. And I know sometimes the laws of the land seem very discriminate. There are some things going on that just don't seem right to us. But I want you to understand this morning that God already knows what laws are discriminate in this land. He already knows when man is trying to move things in his favor. He already knows. You see, we have to understand that everybody that's making the law is not under the law, y'all. And we've got to really trust God when it comes to that. We've got to really understand that grace came. We're going to get to grace. Grace came. Thank you, Lord. So the law in that book of Romans is my God, an attribute to the condition of being under the law of Moses. And one of the things is when we talk about being under the law, we're talking about not giving in to sin. You see, the opposite of what Paul calls being under the law, the opposite of that is what Paul calls grace. See, being under the law is the opposite of what Paul calls being under grace. Being under grace. Grace came. So you need to get under grace this morning. Grace came because Christ came. When Christ came, Christ bought grace with him. Christ is grace. Let's talk about grace for a moment. What is grace? Grace is the free and unmerited. I'm going to take my time with this. The free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of his blessings. Let me give you that definition again. Grace, the free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. My God. So let's break that down. Grace. Christ came and brought what? Grace. What is grace? Let's take it in parts. The free and unmerited. Unmerited means not deserved. First of all, we don't deserve grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I don't deserve grace because I am a wretch. I was a wretch undone. I was unsaved like I was born because I was born in sin. So grace came and saved me. Christ came and saved me. Grace, the free and unmerited, undeserved. We don't deserve grace. We really don't deserve anything that God gives us. God just chooses to bless us. The free and unmerited favor of God. The free and unmerited favor of God. Favor is an act of kindness beyond what is due or usual. First of all, you don't deserve it. Second of all, it's an act of kindness. Just because God feels like giving it to us. Just because he feels like blessing us yet again. You see? But it's the free and unmerited favor of God as manifested. I want to make sure you. Manifested means to make visible or known what has been hidden or unknown. It's coming forth anyhow. God is going to bring forth some things that you don't even know are coming. He's going to bring forth some things through grace that you haven't even looked for, haven't even asked for. He's already brought forth some things in your life through grace. You don't know how they came, but you know they came through God. The free and unmerited favor of God is manifested in the salvation. Salvation. It works in our salvation. Our salvation, our preservation or deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss. See, salvation or being saved doesn't mean Holy Ghost. that you have to look a certain way. Salvation simply means that you are preserved or delivered from harm, from ruin, from loss. Salvation means you have a deliverance from sin and its consequences. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Salvation means that you've been brought about by your faith in Christ, my God. So, thank you, Lord. One more time, the free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. To bestow blessings upon us means that God has presented us with an honor. God has caused our that bestowal, what he has caused is for grace to be a right to the people of God, those who worship him, those who follow him. And God sent grace through Christ. Christ came and placed favor on the lives of the people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Christ came. Grace came. And I can imagine God the Father saying to God the Son and then relaying to God the Holy Spirit, because these people are so mixed up, they're so confused, they're wrapped up in the law and not following the law. How do I follow the law here? What do I do to follow the law there? I can imagine the conversation of the Trinity saying, we've got to do something to help our people. And that something came in the form of Jesus Christ. What in the world did God do when he made us? I wonder sometimes, does God ask that question? What in the world did I do? My God. So we need to ask ourselves the question, what in the world is God thinking about me? Did he bring his grace and his favor so I could walk wrong or so I could live right? Come on, God. Christ came, you see. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, write this down. Says, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. Nothing that the president, the kings, the queens, the governors, the mayors, the congressmen, the congresswomen, the superintendents, if I could just think of heads of places, the CEOs, nothing that they can do or have done can save you. But by grace are you saved through your faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God. We already broke that down. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're not saved and you didn't receive grace because of anything you did. You're not saved and you didn't receive grace because of your stature. You're not saved and you didn't receive grace because you're better than me or I'm better than you. You are not saved and did not receive grace because of the number of degrees you have. I have a few, but that's not what saved me, and it's not what's going to keep me saved. You're not saved, and you have not received grace because of the years you put in. That's not it. But by grace are you saved through your faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And if I can tie that in with Romans 10 and 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, confess that grace, come on, and shall believe in your heart that God raised Jesus, your grace, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God sent Christ. Christ came. Grace came. Do you think God took the time to intricately plan for Christ to come to this earth? To walk and to talk, to preach and to speak and teach? Do you think that he intricately came up with that plan to send him here just for his demise, just so we wouldn't have hope? No. He came, grace came to bring us hope. Grace came to save us. Grace, the free, we didn't pay anything for it. We can't work for it. The free and unmerited is not deserved by us. Favor of God in, oh my God, as manifested, it comes about in and through our salvation. That's when you receive. If you're not saved, you don't care. You can't. You can't partake in this thing called grace. I'm sorry. And mercy's coming next week. You see, that's different. Mercy is on the way. Grace came. Mercy is going to follow. Come on, Jesus. Grace came to bring favor on the lives of the people of God. Grace came. Oh my God. Grace came to help us to be able to walk right. Grace came to help us to be able to focus. Grace came. Grace came so that we would no longer fear the color of our skin. Fear our stature in this life. Grace came so we wouldn't have to worry about she's cuter than me, he's more handsome than I. None of that stuff matters to God. Grace came because it's looking at us on the inside. It came to save our souls, to change our hearts and minds, to cause us to be different. Grace came. Don't let the life of Christ have come in vain. Because of you. Because souls are going to be saved. Lives are going to go forth. But we need to make sure and very sure that it's us. We need to be, that's the one thing we can be selfish about with ourselves, is that I want to make sure I'm saved. I want to make sure that he calls my name. Grace came to free us, to cleanse us, to make us right. Grace came to make us whole. Come on, God. Thank you, Lord. Grace came. Grace came. Grace came because God sent grace. Grace came, that unmerited favor that we didn't deserve. Christ didn't deserve to die, but he came and he did it anyway. That unmerited favor, grace came so that we could indulge in salvation. Salvation is a good thing. Salvation is a good thing. Let me tell you, when you find yourself under grace, things cause you less anxiety. You're able to handle this life differently because you're able now to give it over to God and to trust Christ with all that you need. God does not show favoritism. If you look at me and you see I'm blessed, guess what? My brother and my sister, you're blessed too. And let me tell you, God showed me a long time ago how to get more in his favor, if that's possible. Because you see, when my brother or my sister is blessed, when I saw my brother and my sister being blessed and being anointed, when I saw my brother or my sister receiving the favor of God on their life, I didn't hate on it. I didn't allow envy to well up. I didn't allow jealousy to be a part. But I lift my hands and I told the Lord, thank you. Thank you, God, for my brother. Thank you for his house, his new house, God. Thank you for my sister. Oh, God, I thank you for the job she has now. See, there's grace, my God. I could see grace. When you see grace on the life, I thank you, God. When grace came, I thank you, God, that I see them coming up out of the muck and the mire. I thank you, God, that I see them changing, transforming before my very eyes. I thank you, God. I see my children trying to latch on to you. I thank you, God. See, when that grace begins to abound, it brings the favor of God. It brings it and it holds us up and it changes us and it causes us to well up because grace, you see, is at the center of that thing called love. Ah, God. Grace came. Christ came. Christ is love. Love is Christ. You see, when grace abounds in you, when that salvation comes up and it begins to manifest itself, when grace manifests in you, your salvation, you become stronger in God. You become more like God. Oh my God, you follow his ways, then you're able to see out of a different place. You're able to feel from a different aspect. Oh my God. You're able, oh my God, even those who have come against you, have come at you. You see God still working in their lives, you see? You don't get haughty about that thing. Well, God, they did this and they did that. What you say is, oh God, I thank you. Because he says, I rain on the just as well as the unjust, you see? So God, I thank you that even though they were unjust, God, I see you still moving. I see you still waiting on them to get it right, God. Oh God, when you can pray for your enemy, that's what God means. When you can bless the Lord, oh my soul and all that is within me, you can bless the name of the Lord in any shape, form, or fashion, in whatever condition you're in. Whatever situation is going on, whatever circumstance has been presented to you, when you can trust God and believe, hey, that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him, when you trust God and you really believe that all things, whether it's good or whether it's bad, but that all things work together for the good of them. And see, I take it personal, y'all. I want y'all to learn how to do like me. I take it personal. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. I love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. I wasn't called for myself. I was called for the purpose of God and for what he needs. I wasn't called to save me. I wasn't called to save you, but I was called to preach the word of God that God might save you. I can't save you. The word of God has to manifest in you. You have to open your heart. You have to confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart that Christ, grace, came, died, and was raised by God. You got to believe that thing beyond a shadow of a doubt. Some going to tell you that Christ was just a prophet. No, he was a prophet. Some going to tell you that he was just a man. He was a man. Some going to tell you, but that's all he was. But I'm here to tell you. He was the Son of God, manifested in the womb of a woman. Oh my God, that's what made him part man. That's what made that happen. Because God himself entered the womb of Mary, manifested himself by way of Christ so that he could feel what we feel. God came down and he can feel. See, he understands our pain because he felt our pain. He made this thing called flesh. But he wasn't flesh. God is a spirit. And those of us that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Don't you mess around and lose your soul, forgetting that grace already came to get you. Grace already arrived. Your ride out of here is already right here. Oh my God, grace came, grace abounds, grace is not going to leave us, grace is not going to forsake us, grace is going to hold us, even in the times of this pandemic, epidemic, sickdemic, whatever, in the times of this ruthless world, grace is still abounding in the midst of the decisions of the lawmakers, grace is still abounding. Don't you go out there and break the law now. Because God says you got to still follow the law. You follow the law of God and you adhere to the laws of man. Grace. Grace. Grace says I'll keep you. Grace says I'll lay down with you at night. Make sure you're all right. Grace says I'll be your God security in your home when your ADT go out. Grace says, I'll be your car insurance. Thank you, Lord. Oh, when you crank it up and you get on that highway and somebody else is driving reckless. Grace says, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, God. But grace also says, says that I will keep your mind stayed on Jesus. Grace says, thank you, God, to pray without ceasing. Grace says this. Grace, thank you, God. Hallelujah. That unmerited favor of God over our lives. Grace. That's what it is. It's grace. Grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I, y'all, once was lost. I thank God now I'm found. I was blind. I was in church, blind. I was in the choir, blind. I was in the pulpit, blind. I was in my home, blind. I was on my job, blind. See, somebody ought to say this thing this morning. I was blind, but now I see. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Grace. Thank you, Lord. Grace. Thank you, Lord. What is grace? The free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. Don't miss that part. When grace comes, blessings come also. When grace came, when Christ came, he brought blessings. Come on, Jesus. He brought blessings. He brought blessings. He brought blessings. Grace came. And next week, mercy followed. Amen. Give God a praise wherever you are right now. I'm telling you, grace came. Tune in next week because mercy is going to follow. Come on, God. Come on, give God a praise where you are right now. Come on, thank you, Lord. Can you give me a wave if you're out there? Thank you, God. Give me a heart if the word has been good to you this morning. Oh, thank you, God. We give you glory now, God. Honor and praise, Father. We thank you for the word this morning. We thank you, Lord, for allowing, oh God, the word to go out and go forth. We thank you for holding the technology at bay this morning, God. We give you glory for that, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, because we said in everything we would give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. We thank you for the people of God this morning, Lord, and we ask you to allow this word to go out and to keep going, to go to the ends of the earth, God. Send it out, O God, from the city of Savannah to the state of Georgia, into the United States of this America, O God. Out into the world, oh God, and beyond. Over to Europe, oh God. To Africa, oh God. Send it to Asia, oh God. Send out the word, oh God, that the people, oh God, might understand. They're no longer looking for Christ to come. They don't have to look for grace to arrive. Because grace came, God. Grace has already come. We thank you that we're able to live under your grace. Your unmerited favor. Amen. Amen. People of God, we give God glory this morning. Thank you, Lord. If you missed the word last week, the word has been posted. Amen. It's been posted. You can hear the audio at RhemaCFChurch.com. And if you go to our Facebook page, the word from last week is there. Amen. It's there. Thank you, Lord. And we ask this morning in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, that if you are not saved and you want to be saved, you want to give your life to Christ, that you just lift your hands in his presence right now and pray this prayer of salvation. Oh, God, thank you. Father, this morning, I give my life to you. I confess with my mouth, O Lord, the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that you, God, have raised him from the dead. I believe that he came to save my life, and I'm taking it personal this morning, God. I want to be saved. I want to be sanctified, God. I want to be Holy Spirit filled. I give my life to you, God. And I say amen. And I seal that deal with you. Amen. Let us continue to pray for those who are lost. Continue to pray for the families who are being affected by COVID-19. But don't you let that rule your life. Amen. And yes, we are being cautious. Amen. I heard the devil in my spirit just now. Thank you, God. Get back. But God is whispering to us right now. Don't let this thing rule you. But there still has to be a place of reverence for what's going on. Don't be psychotic about it. Grace came. Because God is showing us, if they were out shooting bullets across the street, there was a gang war and the bullets are flying. Yes, I'm saved. Yes, I believe God. And I know that his mercy and grace are over my life. But am I going to run out there in the middle of those bullets? No, because God is wise. So mask up and shelter in. Y'all know I was going there. Mask up and shelter in. Mask up and shelter in. Respect those who are doing it. Let's just be respectful. If they're not doing it, just stay away from them. You don't have to be disrespectful about it. My niece is calling me 6 foot because that's all I say. 6 feet, please. Alex, that's for you this morning. Thank you, God. If you'd like to be a blessing to Rhema. If we've been a blessing to you, we ask that you go to RhemaCFChurch.com and that you share with us. Amen. You can click on the donate button and you're able to give via PayPal or by card. Amen. And we ask that as we go forward this week, that we remember those who are less fortunate than us. And I need you to know that Rhema is a church of giving. Rhema is a church that gives back to the community. Rhema is a church that does outreach. Amen. And I know that it's been slowed down with us actually going at this time, but we're putting our heads together. We're coming up with some ways that we can reach the people without putting ourselves in harm's way. Amen. Amen. We thank God. And we just want to mention right now, Brother Trey, we thank God for you. And we ask you to cover him in ministry that his son, his 9-year-old boy, 8 or 9, Caleb, wanted to be able to feed the homeless, y'all. A heart that God has for the people. And they're going out every now and then and they're providing those meals and we're going to help them with that. So we ask that you be a blessing so that we can continue to be a blessing. So remember, until next week, every person we meet is a prospective soul for the kingdom of God. Father, we thank you now in the name of Jesus. We ask that we go from this place, oh God, but never from your presence, that you keep us and you cover us. Bless those who have called in, those who have tuned in, those who have signed in, go into their homes, God, and make well with the grace that is abounding for them, oh Father. Remember, Rhema, every person we meet is a prospective soul for the kingdom. And I'm going to leave y'all with what my mom says this morning. Until next Sunday morning at 9:45, or until I tune in again, I'll see you then if life lasts, and I pray it does. God bless. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed by the life-changing word from Rhema Christian Fellowship Ministry. Rhema is located at 2106 Bonavella Avenue, Savannah, Georgia, 31406. Join us for worship services at 9:45 each Sunday morning. God bless.